I just feel that something good's about to happen, because something good happened back in January, and you're going to hear about it today on Chris Mabry Live. Welcome to the daily conversation we have here at the Radio Backyard Fence. Let me ask you a question as we get started. Are you a follower of Jesus living together with someone, not a roommate? Are you living together with someone as if you were married, but you're not married, or you're putting off marriage? It's going to be in the future, and right now we're just, you know, we're living the way we're living. I want you to hear what happened a few weeks ago with the president of Moody Bible Institute. He was invited to speak at an event, an interesting event, and he challenged the people in the audience to take a bold step, and you're going to hear what step he challenged them to take, and then what happened straight ahead on Chris Mabry Live. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for suggesting this topic to somebody you know. Perhaps you'll do that today. All of our programs are archived and are absolutely free of charge online. Just go to chrismabrylive.org. And the way that we can make those available is because our backfence friends and partners come alongside of us. And in fact, let me do that here right at the beginning of the program. I want to encourage you to become a partner today. Every Thursday, I send out a video called My Backfence Post. And a lot of times it's just me talking to you and saying, here's what happened the other day, or here's what's rolling around my soul, or I send you pictures of videos of the goats in the backyard, or what I see out my window here in Arizona when I talk with you. But a couple of weeks ago, Jackie Darby was with us. And when Jackie was born, she was literally thrown away. A missionary nurse found her in a garbage dump in Korea. And to this day, Jackie has the scars of the rodents who were attacking her as a little baby. It's a horrific story, but it's a grace-filled story because she was adopted by an American family about 9 months later. And today she's a missionary herself. After the program where she told her story and talked about the book that she had written, it's both in Spanish and English, and it's about adoption. It's kind of her story. We turned the camera on, and we had this 5 or 10 minute chat with her. And in the middle of that, she said this, and I wrote it down. She said, "How are you ever going to know it's a God dream if you never put your faith into action?" And it was her husband who had said that to her for 30 years because she had been talking about writing this book and having an illustrator. And I stared at the screen because I've been mulling something. I've been mulling something in my own life lately. And it was as if Jackie was talking directly to me. Well, she was on the video, but this was 2 weeks later and I'd forgotten she had said that. And I interpreted the story a little bit differently because of what I'm going through. This is the power of what we talk about every day. It's the kind of encouragement that you get, hopefully here on the radio, but also as a backfence partner. If you give a gift each month and you become a partner, I'll send you that video every Thursday. Call or click through today at chrisfabrylive.org, Chris Fabry, F-A-B-R-Y, chrisfabrylive.org, or call 866-95-FABRY and see how you can be a partner with us. Or if you want to give a one-time gift, that's great. Would love to hear from you. 866-953-2279 or chrisfabrylive.org. There may be somebody who needed to hear that today. How are you ever going to know if it's a God dream if you never put your faith into action? I'll just leave that right there. All right, I haven't thanked anybody today. Ryan McConaughey. Ryan puts our backfence post together each week, and it's a heavy lifting. Thank you, Ryan, for all that you do there and for all the technical support that you give us every day here at the back fence. Tricia McMillan's our producer in the chair today. Lynn will be answering your calls. We have an official program observer. His name is Bradford. Thank you, Bradford, for being here. I mentioned that video. I saw another video last week produced by the folks at Bold Steps, which is the teaching ministry of Dr. Mark Job. And that video mirrors something that I have experienced here with callers through the years. And we don't talk a whole lot about in the church as much these days. And maybe I'm wrong. I don't go to every church and I'm not omniscient, so I don't know everything. I can't possibly know. But here's what I'm sensing. partly because of the response that comes up on this program when I do challenge somebody or when I bring it up. I think either we come on so strong about unmarried people living together who are in the church, they're living together before marriage, we come on so strong that we seem judgmental, or we are so afraid of becoming judgmental that we avoid the conversation and we don't bring it up. And it's not brought up from the pulpit, you know, it's not brought up by the pastor because, well, for whatever reason. So I wanted to have a conversation about it. And I've been mulling how to do that because on the program, it's been several weeks, it was a Friday, and we had a caller, and in the middle of what she was saying, she said, my boyfriend and I decided to buy a house or to sell the house. It was something about a house. And my antenna went up. I was like, oh, okay, wait a minute. And it wasn't really a part of her story in a sense. But I said, hey, time out. I just had to ask you about this. So you and your boyfriend are not married. Can you tell me more about, you know, I kind of broached it that way. And I received phone email and voicemails and that kind of thing from listeners, not saying, how could you be so awful and judgmental to, you know, bring this up in the conversation? But thank you for saying that. I don't hear that anymore, meaning it used to be we'd talk about these things. It used to be that was important. Is it important? I think it is. And so when we come back from a quick break, I want you to hear from the president of Moody Bible Institute, Dr. Mark Job. He's got a lot of duties. He is on the host of Moody Radio's Bold Steps. He's founding and senior pastor of New Life Community Church, which meets in the Chicago area at multiple sites. Founder of New Life Centers, which is an organization focused on helping youth in underserved areas of Chicago. We have a featured resource today, What Now? How to Move Into Your Next Season. He also wrote the book Unstuck, Out of Your Cave, Into Your Call. And I want him to tell you the story of what happened to him back in January and the event where he spoke and what he was led to say, what he was led to challenge the people there, and then what happened with that. And after we do all of that, we're going to invite your phone calls to respond at 877-548-3675. Now here he is, the 10th president of Moody Bible Institute, Dr. Mark Job, pastor of New Life Community Church. I mentioned New Life Centers. He actually graduated Moody the same year that I did in 1984, though I think you're younger than me, but, you know, who's counting, right? Dr. Job, I've been wanting to talk about this thing, you know, this living together thing, Christians who are living together and judgmental. Are we too judgmental? Are we not enough? And just before the break, I said that I think in a lot of the response that I'm getting from a lot of people when this comes up on the program is this isn't talked about that much anymore in the church. It's not that as big a deal as it used to be. What do you think about that?
Well, let me tell you, living together is a big deal these days. And what I've discovered is that more and more young people are afraid of marriage because they've come from broken households. There's a lot of dysfunction, divorce, brokenness. And so many of them opt to live together instead of getting married. Mm-hmm. And I feel an obligation as a pastor, as a teacher of the Word of God, to sometimes go directly against cultural trends. And so I talk about it quite a bit. And lovingly confront people quite a bit, actually, and I'm amazed at usually how well people respond.
Yes,
when they're lovingly confronted with the truth of the Word of God. But it is, I think, it's a huge issue, and I'm in the middle. I can't tell you how many men, especially because I usually address the men. I can't tell you how many men I put my arms around on a Sunday morning. They've come to Christ. And I say, are you married? No. Living together? Yeah. How long? 3-4 years. And I always directly go to the issue and I say, so who's dragging their feet here? Well, you know, we're saving up for a wedding, or, you know, it just doesn't seem the right time. So I always go right to it and say, well, you know, now that you're a believer, if you're a believer, the Bible basically says you can't have sex together. So you need to abstain, move out, and start to plan on getting married. Do the process of getting married. Usually the guy will tell me, hey, you know, it's a while. I'm thinking a year or two. I say, okay, you can't have sex. You have to move out. Then they're like, hey, how fast can you marry us? And so there's a bit of an incentive there.
You know, this happened a few weeks ago, and it was a caller who just kind of offhandedly mentioned, and my boyfriend and I are thinking about selling the house. And so I dealt with the story, and it was a good call. And then I said, I have to call a timeout because you said your boyfriend, you know. And so I just kind of brought it up, and I said, you know, tell me more about that, something along those lines. And then, and she said much of the same thing. You know, we've been thinking about it, but we just haven't been able to, or whatever. And in the break, I said, I hope you didn't feel like I came down on you, you know, too hard or judgmental. And she said, no, in fact, you know, I'm glad that you said this. This is something to this effect. And she said, we really haven't talked a lot about it. Mm. And so I thought, well, if nothing else, that you brought it up with this story on the radio, this will get them to talk about it and think about what are the implications here, you know, and where is this going and where do we want it to go? And if we are believers, then is there something more that we need to do that we're not doing right now?
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. So I want to say this, if you're listening to this program right now and you are living with your boyfriend or you're living with your girlfriend and you're a believer in Jesus Christ, God loves you and we love you, but your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit and God is extremely clear about the relationship. If you're going to have the favor of God, the blessing of God upon that relationship, then it has to be done God's way. You can't do things your own way and then say, God, please bless it. You have to be willing to do it God's way. And it is challenging and it is a commitment, but it's vital to walk in obedience to God. He's the designer of our relationships, and he's the one that created marriage and sexuality. To be honest with you, I spoke to a woman recently. She'd been living with her boyfriend for 17, 18 years. And I said, well, and why aren't you married? And she said, well, I'm just afraid. I said, 17 years into it, I'm not sure what you're afraid about. She said, well, I'm afraid if I pressure him, he's going to leave me. Hmm. And I said, you know what? I think that it's a risk worth taking. And so I think, Chris, you saw recently I did a marriage for six couples.
Yes. I was going to say, I want you to take me back to January and what, how this happened. And we've got a video. Don't go to the video yet. I want you to hear the story, but take me back to January and what happened there first.
So I was invited to speak at a nightclub, and I have to sort of define that because there was a church doing a combined service, multiple of their services, including English and Spanish, and they couldn't find a big enough place. Their sanctuary wasn't big enough, so they rented in a nightclub. When I say nightclub, I mean, you know, the bars on the side. And so we did a Sunday morning service there. Hundreds of people were there. And I spoke on the woman that was curved over for 18 years, and she had an encounter with Jesus. And Jesus straightened her up. It was physical. It was spiritual. It was also, it affected her soul. And I felt like I needed to just challenge people that had grown accustomed to a certain way of living and had just accepted it when Jesus is saying, no, that's not the way I want you to continue to live. That's not how I designed you. I didn't design you to live curved over. I designed you to live a different way. And I said, you know, some of you are living together right now. You're not married. You're living together. You've come to accept it as your norm. And the Spirit of God is challenging you to say, no, that's not the norm. That's not how I designed this. So I said, I've never done this before, but if you are living together or if you are regularly having sex with your boyfriend or girlfriend, I'm going to ask you to, and you're ready to stop and do it God's way, I'm going to ask you to come forward. And I thought, no one's going to come forward. One couple came forward and faced the audience. They didn't face the other way. Then another couple, and 11 couples came forward. And then I said, all right, are you all willing to do this God's way? So they knelt, they asked forgiveness from each other, and they vowed, God, we're going to do this your way. Wow. And so I turned to the pastor and I said, oh, one of the ladies was behind me. And I said, some of you have been living together for a long time. And she like motioned her head. And I said, how long have you been living with your boyfriend? She said, 17 years. And they had a 12-year-old son together. And so I said, I've talked to the pastor. They're going to start premarital classes next week. So those of you, I want you to join these premarital classes and start. And so 3 months later, the pastor called me up and said, hey, pastor, 6 of those couples are getting married. Would you come and speak at their wedding?
And these were— I saw in the video, I saw Paco.
That's right. That's right. You know Paco?
Is that who you're talking?
Right.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
who I'm talking about. So Paco said, our church has come alongside of them. We've come beside them, and we're going to do a marriage of all 6. The women were beautifully dressed in their wedding gowns, and on a Sunday morning, we did it. All 6 couples standing up front, saying the vows together. When he said, you may now kiss the bride, 6 couples kissed each other. And we just mentioned these couples are taking a step of obedience. One of them had daughters that were 19 and 18 years old. And he said, I'm doing this for God, but I'm also doing it because I want my daughters to know that marriage is sacred and I have not done things God's way. And I thought, what a powerful gift to your children to come to the place to say, you know what, maybe it didn't start right, but I'm going to make it right before God.
Bingo. And that was a bold step.
It was a bold step. That's right.
So there's a video that's been put together of this, and we've got a link to it at the website, a green tab that you can click and you can go and see this. But other than Wayne Shepherd, your co-host on the program, he does the intro. It's mostly in Spanish and it's translated. I've excerpted about a minute. And this is you standing up in front of, after welcoming them, you standing up in front of them. Again, this is all in Spanish, and I'm going to have you translate it for us, what you can remember of it. This is what it sounded like during that service.
Estamos aquí porque esto es un día extraordinario. Qué bellas están las damas, ¿verdad? Yo la amaré, yo la trataré con respeto. No importa lo que ocurra, no importa enfermedad, tribulación, lo que ocurra en nuestra vida, yo cumpliré mi voto a esta mujer. Quiero que sepas que algunos tenéis hijas. ¿Sí? ¿Quién? Quiero que sepas que vuestras hijas, mira, quiero que sepas que tu hija va a aprender cómo se trata a una mujer como tú tratas a tu esposa. Quiero que sepas que cuando tu hija crezca, si tú la has amado bien, la has respetado, la has protegido, ella nunca se casará con otro que la trata mal porque ella sabe cómo debe ser tratada, porque ha visto a un hombre tratar a su mujer de esa forma.
Right there.
So the translation, I'm speaking to the couples, they're sitting there, and so in front of a packed house auditorium, I turn around and I'm addressing the couples sitting on stage, all 6 couples in Spanish. And I said, we're here because this is an extraordinary day. And then I said, how beautiful the ladies are. They were all dressed up, looking great. I said, you know, you're going to say in just a few minutes, I will love her. I will treat her with respect, no matter what happens, no matter illness, tribulation, no matter what happens in our life, I will fulfill my vows to this woman. I want you to know that. I said, some of you have daughters, and I want you to know, and I want you to know that your daughter is going to learn how a woman should be treated by how you treat your wife. I want you to know that when your daughter grows up, if you have loved her well, if you have respected your wife well, if you've protected her, that she's going to have a hard time marrying anyone who treats her badly because she knows how she should be treated because she has seen a man treat her mother well.
And that's where the response, you know, in the people in the congregation, where they were agreeing with you. And the men, when you said, do any of you have daughters? And you could see, you know, they raised their hand.
Yeah.
And that's why I want you to go see the video at some point. But that's all of the service that I'm, you know, we're going to be able to bring people here. But what did you see that was going on between those couples, you know, the man and the wife there that morning?
I saw couples that were tearing up, couples that were looking at each other, that had, several of these couples had children already, but they had never taken that bold step of getting married. And it's culturally acceptable, not just in Hispanic communities, but in English-speaking communities alike. And I think when they came under conviction, they realized we need to do this God's way. And, you know, I have to say that I had just recently been at a women's encounter retreat where 750 women showed up there. My wife organized the retreat. A lot of it was about breaking cycles. And the truth of it is that so many women have gotten involved in bad, abusive, toxic relationships, often because they never saw how a woman should be treated in a household. And fathers, if you're listening to me and you're a father and you have young daughters, I just want to say that your daughters learn what to expect in a marriage by how you treat your wife at home. So you are coaching them. If they see disrespect, if they see abusive language, if they see a critical, belittling spirit, they start to learn that's the way a woman should be treated. And so they are much more likely to end up in a abusive relationship if they have seen a man not treat their mother the right way, because they just, you've groomed them to accept that. When they see a man treating a wife with respect and dignity and honor, then immediately when a man doesn't treat them that way, they bristle at that because in their yes. mind they know that's not the way a woman should be treated.
Yeah. And they see it and they so the fear thing, you know, and we talk a lot about younger couples, and I get that. Younger couples are afraid of, because they've seen the bad stuff. And so you have compassion, and so do I, for those who are afraid of what might happen. You know, I don't want to make a big mistake here. But I hear from older couples as well, and the fear is very strong there. You know, I'm widowed and I'm living with him, and if we get married, then his benefits go away or right. my benefits go away, or, you know, there's a financial thing there. So it's not just younger people that are in this quandary these days. It's people all throughout life.
You're right. And Chris, I've heard it all. And every time I say to a couple, no couple tells me, hey, we're just not going to get married. Very, very seldom. They all say, we're thinking about it. It's not the right time. We've wrestled through it. We're saving up money. We want a big wedding. And I always just look at them and say, you know, hey, you and I know you're making excuses. And sometimes one of the partners is the one that's dragging their feet. And I always try to identify that. And I said, who here is dragging their feet? And if it's him, she'll quickly look over at him. And I'll tell him, listen, don't make her beg you to ask you to marry her with honor. Don't make her beg you. She shouldn't have to do that. You should pursue her. And I look at the man because I still feel like the man should be the one taking initiative. And so a lot of my comments are directed towards the man, and I'll say, you know, you need to lead in this relationship, and you need to make things right, and you need to give her a decent proposal. And if you need to go to City Hall and get married now and then have a big wedding 2 months from now, then do that.
Why don't we talk about this more in the church, you know, with our friends? Or maybe you're in that situation right now. Here's the number, 877-548-3675. More straight ahead on Moody Radio. Earlier in the program, I mentioned Jackie Darby's name. Jackie was an infant rescued from a garbage dump in Korea. She didn't know what happened with her mom, only that she was tossed away. But God had a plan for her. A missionary nurse found her, got her to an orphanage, and 9 months later, she was adopted by a family in the U.S. And today, Jackie and her husband serve people in Guatemala and help them come to know Jesus. Our friends at CareNet are like that missionary nurse who want to help rescue babies from being thrown away. CareNet's there for women and men who've been told abortion is the best answer for you. And if you disagree with that premise like I do, check out the ministry of CareNet. Click the green button at the website chrisfabrylive.org. What's the best way to curb abortion? Politics, government, legislation, the Supreme Court, all of that's part of the process in our society. But CareNet really believes the real change that says yes to life, even when it's not convenient, happens on the inside when people are introduced to the transforming power of the gospel. That's what CareNet believes. I know it'll encourage you. If nothing else, your eyes will water when you see the smiling baby with the pink bow on her hair. Click CareNet today when you go to chrisfabrylive.org, chrisfabrylive.org. You can also click multiple links for bold steps because Dr. Mark Jobe is with us today, 10th president of Moody Bible Institute. What Now? How to Move into Your Next Season is our featured resource by him, which is, you know, take a bold step and get married. I had a question here from someone who says, what about the marriages of people who say, I'm getting married, but only in the church or only with a pastor. I'm not going to go to the government. I'm not going to register for whatever reason they say. What do you think about that?
Well, I have had couples, excuse me, ask me to do that. And I tell them as a responsible pastor, if you're going to get married, you need to get married all the way. I won't marry someone and just have a ceremony that is not legally binding. And I've heard a lot of reasons why. Most of them are economic reasons. Some of them typically around economics is what it is. And so I think before the eyes of God, if you're going to get married, you need to get legally married, get married in the church, jump in the whole way. I don't look at a marriage that is not legal as a full marriage. And so I would challenge that. I think you'd be hard-pressed to find pastors that walk with integrity that would just marry someone and say you don't have to do it legally.
Okay. And why do you think we don't you say that you do. You talk about this in your church. My sense is that around the country, there many churches don't talk much about it because, well, why do you think that's true if it is?
Well, you know, I think that there are a lot of people that are cohabiting, and we don't want to offend people or make people feel uncomfortable. But my perspective is the gospel and the way of Jesus always makes me feel uncomfortable because he challenges me to do things his way and not my way. And I emphasize it not because I want to guilt people into action, but because I believe that there's a huge consequence that it has on the people that you're living with and the children that you that they have together. You're discipling your children. Children are smart enough to know as they get older that mom and dad aren't married. You're sending a strong message to them. You're sending a strong message to people. If you're a follower of Jesus, the Bible is not ambiguous about sex outside of marriage. The Bible is very clear about that and takes it very, very clear, very, very strong position is that our sexual intimacy is within the confines of marriage, a covenant relationship till death do us part. And so to live together without that commitment is, I think, if you're a believer, you're walking in disobedience to God. You're walking, to be bluntly, you're walking in sin. And I think God doesn't set a standard to make life more difficult for us, but God sets a standard so that we can flourish. And if you are a couple that's living together without committing to marriage, then you are not flourishing the way that God wants you to flourish.
So it really is a loving thing to bring this up. There is a way to do it judgmentally. You'll agree with that.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a way to present the gospel. There's a way to present all truth in a judgmental way. I typically have private conversations. Usually I put my arm around, pat them on the back and say, so why not? But like a father would, strong encouragement. And let me tell you, Chris, I can't tell you the amount of couples that have come to me and say, Pastor, we did it. We did it. We took that step. My wife and I have both done it. There was a couple that she wanted to serve in Sunday school, and my wife kind of screens it and says, okay, you believer? Yes. You've been baptized? Yes. Are you married? I noticed two different last names. No, we have two children, but we just haven't gotten married. And so my wife lovingly said, you know what? You really need to take that step. So practically every time she saw, hey, are you taking that step? And when they got married, they said, we got married because Miss D just kept insisting that we needed to do that. And they came to us afterwards and they said, thank you so much. We feel like we're on a new honeymoon. We feel like something broke when we got married. When we finally got married, like the favor of God, like we're so glad that you pushed us in this direction. And obviously when you're living in sin, blatantly living in sin, you can't expect the favor of God to be poured on something that hasn't been done God's way or consecrated to Him the right way.
And even saying that phrase makes you sound like an old fuddy-duddy. and we're the same age. It's a living in sin. You know, you used to hear this all the time as a kid, but I don't know what else you would call it. And would you do, you know, let's say you put your arm around him and her and say, why not? And then, you know, a year goes by and nothing has changed. Is there a church of discipline? How do you handle that?
Well, you know, I think it needs to be handled like the Bible tells us to handle it. When someone is in blatant sin, first of all, they shouldn't be in ministry because they're living in blatant sin. I think we should walk alongside them and ask them, so what is it that's holding you back? Why are you not taking the step? And usually when you get down to it, now notice, I'm not saying that they can't be together. I'm not saying that they can't date. I'm simply saying that they can't cohabit together and have sex together. They can date as long as they want, as long as they're not sexually involved. And work through your, if you have fears about that commitment, then work through them the way God wants you to work through them. Work through them living separately, not being sexually involved. And then when you're ready to make that commitment, make that commitment. But if it's just out of some inconvenience, and oftentimes it is, then, and you know you're going to get married, then stop delaying obedience. Oftentimes there's fear.
Yes.
What if it doesn't work out? What if we don't change? What if we end up in divorce? What if, you know, and hey, Those all accompany commitment and marriage. But I believe that God designed marriage. I believe that God knows the best way it should function. And so I think as a believer, it's an insult to God and to the institution of marriage to act like you're married, but not do it God's way.
Yeah. Jennifer's on the line with Dr. Mark Jobe. Hi, Jennifer. Go right ahead.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Hey, sure, Jennifer.
Can. Hi. So I'm going to try to ask this question correctly, but during the 90s, there was a huge movement. I think it was like the purity movement. And I think that was based on a book called A Kiss Dating Goodbye.
Joshua
and
Harris.
And I have several people that I know in my friend group that followed that to a T and ended up with struggling, difficult marriages and have felt, you know, looking back that it really, I don't know, you said something about blessing. You can't expect to be blessed if you're not doing it God's way. But they really did follow that and have got, in their opinion, no blessing and are kind of questioning, you know, maybe my kids shouldn't do this.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate your question, and I'm familiar with the book. And Josh Harris himself, unfortunately, denied the faith and walked away from God, is my understanding. So let me put it this way. Just because you abstain from sex and are a virgin when you get married doesn't mean you're prepared for marriage. And so I think there's this fallacy to think, okay, just as long as we don't have sex, I can just kind of jump in. I think you have to be prepared for marriage. You have to have a maturity in marriage. You have to, I encourage people to get premarital counseling to know how to navigate relationships. So there's no guarantee just because you're not sexually involved and you go to marriage that your life is going to be problem-free. Marriage takes work. It takes commitment. It takes working through the relational issues. But if you're telling me, if the argument you're saying is that it's better for couples to live together for 4 or 5 years and test the tires and try it out and then get married, I would absolutely disagree with you. First of all, studies don't verify that. Right. In fact, if you look at some of the studies of cohabitation, you'll realize that the brokenness, dysfunction, effect on children is always negative. There's not a positive to cohabitation. And this is secular sociologists that have studied this. I'm not saying that marriage is easy, even if you walk in purity, but I'm saying that God's way is always the best. And I do think that some couples jump into marriage before they're ready. I don't think they always have the support they need. I don't think they're always prepared to do that. So I'm not advocating for irresponsible, fast decisions on marriage, but I am advocating for healthy, responsible, pure dating relationships that lead to a great foundation for marriage, if that makes sense.
Glad you called, Jennifer. Let me get Chris's question in before the break. Chris, why did you call today?
Yeah, I just had a quick question. Where I live, when they bring up this topic, oftentimes some of the preachers or pastors will say, well, if you want to engage in these activities, get married. And sometimes I feel like that's a wrong message to send, because I feel like if you're just going into it to have certain lustful desires fulfilled, that it completely desanctifies the whole point of the marriage. Mm. And I've heard it from some of my friends. They're like, yeah, well, I talked to the pastor, and, you know, I feel bad about this, but he said, if I feel that bad, just get married. And I'm like, I don't know if that's a good message to be sending out there, because then doesn't it denullify the sanctity of marriage?
I think that's a really, really good question. I'm glad you picked up on that, and we're going to take Dr. Jobe's answer to it straight ahead on Moody Radio. If you go to the website, chrisfabrylive.org, you'll see more about Dr. Jobe, his radio program Bold Steps, as well as the book What Now? How to Move into Your Next Season. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org. I have wanted to talk about this for a long time, and Dr. Mark Jobe came along and did a video about this wedding that happened. You got to see the video. We have it linked. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org. He is the 10th president of Moody Bible Institute, speaker, host of Moody Radio's Bold Steps. We have links to that as well as the featured resource, What Now? How to Move into Your Next Season. So the question on the table from Chris, I think, is a really good one. Does it take away the sanctity if you're just getting married because you feel guilty for having sex before marriage and you just go ahead and get, how do you answer that?
Well, yeah, let me just be upfront about this and talk candidly about this. If you're just getting married for sex, then you're in for trouble. Because the single person says, well, especially if they're a believer, well, I have this drive, so let me get married. And anybody that's married knows that you have to exercise self-control in marriage too. There's times of birth and sickness and age and separation. And so that is part of the design of marriage, a beautiful part of the design of intimacy. But obviously, marriage is about the commitment of companionship. Sexual intimacy is part of marriage. It's not a marriage unless there's sexual intimacy involved in that, or a consummation of that marriage as well. So I would say, 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul talks a lot about this, and in one place he does say it's better to marry than to burn with passion. So the Apostle Paul actually says, you know, some of you are single and you desire companionship, and there is that getting married and companionship and the responsibility and the sexual intimacy that comes with it is your best option. And then he also says, and some of you should be single. So I would say that a lot of the couples that I talk to are already living together, and when I talk to them, they say, we plan on staying together. And so, but when I say, but why aren't you married? Usually when I dig deep enough, it boils down to someone is afraid. Someone is afraid. And I don't think that fear is a good reason to jump God's way of doing things and cohabit because of fear. I think that you should take the step. If you're both believers and you know that you're going to be together, you're just waiting for the right moment, I think, you know, I'm going to call it out and saying you're not living God's way, and so you need to do things God's way. In fact, let me just do this. If you're listening to me right now, you're living with your boyfriend or girlfriend, some of you are under spirit conviction, the Holy Spirit conviction. I want to challenge you to do what you've been thinking about doing for a long time. And for Pete's sake, ask that woman to marry you and do it the right way and stop postponing. Get things done God's way.
Who's Pete? Is Pete the...
And let me say, and can you call Chris Fabry sometime and let him know after you're married? Hey, you know what? I was at a men's conference this past in Canton, Ohio, and a guy came up to me and said, hey, can I talk to you? I said, yeah. He said, I just want you to know I'm married because of you. I said, why? He said, at last men's conference, you said, if you're a believer, you're living with your girlfriend, you need to man up and you need to ask her to marry you. And he said, I went home and I asked the woman that I've been living with to marry me. And he said, man, we're so happy. We're involved in church. Our kids are involved in Bible study. Thank you for pushing me. And I said, you're welcome, brother.
And I think the flip side of that flourishing that you're talking about is you can't expect that if you're not going to live the way God wants you to live. You know, you can't expect that. But the flip side of that is true. When you begin to obey what he says, when you begin to follow his prescription, you know, for living and do it the way that God wants you to, then you are going to, you'll go closer to that person, you know, to your spouse. And you'll go closer to God because you're saying, I want to do this your way. And I'm not saying that it's going to be roses and cotton candy and all that.
Right.
I'm saying that God will be that third person in that union, that third chord, right?
Yeah. Just 2 weeks ago, a couple after church came up and we were praying for people, and a couple came up to me and said, "Hey, Pastor, will you pray for us?" And I said, "What's going on? We're under a lot of stress. We're just under a lot of pressure. It's been very difficult." I said, "Okay, are you married?" They said, "No." And I asked, "Are you living together?" They looked at each other. I said, "Yes." "How long?" About a little over a year. I said, "Well, let's start there. Let me just start there. You're asking me to bless your household, but you're walking in disobedience. You have power to make decisions." And they agreed. And I said, "I want you to be blessed, but I'm not going to just ask blessing while you're living in a way that doesn't align with God's plan. And you need to take those steps. And as you continue to work on the other things in your life."
And I think people are hungry for the word of God. They're not hungry for judgmental people, but they're hungry for people to say, "This is the way, walk ye in it." You know, this is the way that if you really want to obey what God says, here's the deal. And to be challenged in that way, they're hungry for that rather than, it's all fine. It's all good. No problem here. No, there is. So thank you for putting a finger on that. So if somebody calls me and says, "Yeah, we want to get married, are you going to do the service?"
We'll do another mass service if we need
to. There you go.
We may have a Chris Fabry 7, 8, 9, 10 couples that say, "Hey, we heard it on Chris Fabry and we decided to get married." I would love that to be a part of the effect of this program.
Wouldn't that be great? Go to the website, especially if you're feeling that conviction. I want you to see the love in that room between those people and what Dr. Job has shared here today. Just go to chrisfabrylive.org. We got a green button for that video. Our program's a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.